and just be able to sing praises to God and be together as a community like this. So everyone, you can be seated. Sort of echo the words from Graham earlier today. It is just so awesome to be here worshiping together, isn't it? I love having such a full band, having multiple people up there worshiping. It's absolutely fantastic. So good morning, everyone. And I hope you are doing well. And I was going to say, I hope you had a good week. But I think actually, maybe something better to say is I hope that God, you saw or felt God working in your week. And even if it was bad, actually the hope is that God, and we see God working and moving. And before we get started today, I actually just want to say a quick thank you to Jacob and Emma for last week. So it was your first time here at HCC, up on the stage giving a message, and it was absolutely awesome. I just loved how the both of you just allowed God to use you in such an amazing way, how he brought that message together, and it's just cool seeing you here using the gifts God gave you to edify his body. So just thank you very much, and I hope to see you two more often coming up. But today we are finishing our series in Proverbs, which, as we know, is one of the books in the Bible that's based around wisdom. And as we've been going through the book of Proverbs, we've been looking at some of the situations in our lives where the wisdom in Proverbs, God's wisdom, can actually speak to our lives and our situations. And it's not just, you know, your everyday kind of situations and wisdom, although like a little bit of it is that, but it's situation that's concerning key aspects of our lives. So we've thought about our futures and whether the decisions we make about our futures and our plans are based upon God's will for our life, are based upon his plans and his wisdom, or our own wisdom and our plans. We've spoken about our friends, about the impact that our friends can have in our lives, and that how Jesus calls us friend because he wants to share his personal life with us and know us personally. We've spoken about our money and whether we have control of it or whether it controls us. We've looked at the topic of anger, about how anger is neither really good nor bad, but the question is, for what purpose do you get angry? And then last week, Jacob and Emma spoke to us about the condition of our heart and how the words we speak, which come from our heart, can either give life, be nurturing and healing, or can bring destruction and pain. And so our topic for today is humility. And I'm also going to talk about the flip side of it, which is pride. And I actually find humility to be rather a hard topic to talk about, because I find there's almost like an unspoken rule in life about humility. And it's this: generally speaking, everyone wants to be humble. But as soon as you kind of start talking about being humble or having humility, it's like you then are not. I don't know if that's just a me thing or whether other people experience that as well. I've had many a conversation with myself about it. Jamie knows I talk to myself quite a lot at home. But especially when it comes to like talking about yourself to someone, like applying for a job. You know, like, do I put down on my CV that I'm humble? Or then, because I put down I'm humble, am I thinking too much of myself? Or will the person think I'm thinking too much of myself? And then am I actually being prideful? Yeah, so you can see, like, for me, there's this back and forth between am I humble, am I prideful? But thankfully, Scripture is actually very clear for us and talks a lot about being humble, about having humility and pride. And Proverbs is certainly no exception to that. So here are some verses from Proverbs which show God's wisdom in relation to this topic. Forgot to turn it on. There we go. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 15:33. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And Proverbs 22:4, humility is the fear of the Lord, Its wages are riches and honor and life. Now, Proverbs gives us a very clear picture on the topics of humility and pride. How we must have humility in order for us to be able to honor God. And in honoring God and having humility, we may receive his wisdom and his favor. While pride leads to disgrace, destruction, and our downfall. And we can see God's wisdom on the topics of humility and pride is actually played out throughout the entire story that is the Bible. And I'm sure we can even see in some areas how this wisdom of God's on humility and pride plays out in our own lives. And so this morning, as we tackle the topic of humility and pride through the lens of Proverbs and God's wisdom, we will embark on a tale of two kings. But let's pray. Father, Lord, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that we can be here together, Lord, to worship you. Lord, that we can experience the love, Lord, and the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, I pray that that I might be speaking your words this morning, Father. Lord, that it may be your words and your will that goes out. And Father, please allow us to remember what it is that you want us to remember. Lord, may you be working this morning and working through our hearts. Lord, we just give this time to you. Lord, we give this day to you. We give our lives to you. Lord, we just pray in your heavenly name. Amen. So one of the stories within Scripture that shows the outworkings of humility and pride that I want to touch on this morning is that of David and King Saul. So we're going to pick up the story this morning. So David has the blessing of God, and he's achieving many a great feat in God's honor. And there is, as a result, the people love David. The people are singing of what David is achieving, most notably also that David's achievements are better than Saul's. I don't know if you know the song, I kind of only know the one line it talks about, but you know, Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And then you've got Saul, King Saul, who's sitting on his throne, troubled by the people's love for David, and feeling that his kingship is threatened because he can see that the Lord is with David and that the Lord had departed himself. So as a result, Saul, in his fits, tries to kill David a couple of times. I still don't understand why David comes back a second time after Saul's already thrown a spear at him. But that's all right. So David ends up running away and taking his men with him. And then Saul eventually ends up finding out that David is out where he's hiding. And so he takes about 3,000 men with him and he goes after David. And so in the story, Saul and his army are camping overnight, and David hears about his exact location, and so him and his men come, and they're looking over Saul's encampment, and David decides that he's going to actually go into that encampment. And so this is where we pick up the story in 1 Samuel 26:7. So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there lay Saul sleeping within the encampment, with a spear stuck in the ground at his head. And Abner and the army lay around him. Then Abishai said to David, God has given your enemy into your hand this day. Now please let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear, and I will not strike him twice. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And David said, as the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him. Or his day will come to die, or he will go down into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should put up my hand against the Lord's anointed. But take now the spear that is at his head and the jar of water and let us go. So David took the spear and the jar of water from Saul's head and they went away. No man saw it or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen upon them. So now after David and Abishai had snuck back out of the encampment and they were a safe distance away, David turned around and he called out to the people in the encampment. And in essence, he was saying, you guys have actually been quite slack at your job. How did you let me come into the king's presence? How did you let me come in here and take this stuff? You should be watching. You should be paying attention. And as David's calling out this to the army, Saul awakes to it, and he goes, "Oh, David, is this your voice I can hear?" And David responds, "Yes, Saul, it is I." And then he ends up telling that he's come in to see him. He's taken his spear and the water jug. And then we're going to go to verse 21 now, where Saul responds. And so from verse 21, "Then Saul said, 'I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have acted foolishly and have made a great mistake.' And David answered and said, 'Here is the spear, O king. Let one of the young men come over and take it. The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord gave you into my hand today. And I would not put up my hand against the Lord's anointed. Behold, as your life was precious this day in my sight, so may my life be precious in the sight of the Lord, and may he deliver me out of all tribulation.' Then Saul said to David, 'Blessed be you, my son David. You will do many things, and you will succeed in them.' So David went his way, and Saul returned to his place." What I find actually quite interesting about this story in particular, and especially Saul's reaction to it, is this is actually not the first time that David had the opportunity to kill Saul, decided not to, then afterwards told Saul, like, "Hey, I could have killed you, I didn't." And then we kind of find ourselves in a place again where then Saul's wanting to kill David. And so in the story, we see David showing humility, the humility that Scripture talks about, because he chooses to honor God and honor Saul by not killing him, unlike what his men were asking. See, David didn't view himself as any more than Saul, and his focus was actually on God. See, as Proverbs 15:33 says, "Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor." See, both in this proverb and in the story, we see that humility and honoring God go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. As you lower your own importance, you raise the importance of God. You honor God. And as a result, your actions and thoughts are directed by God. In a biblical sense, humility is our power under the control of God. Humility is our power under the control of God. See, within the Bible, people with humility are those who honor God and honor people by what they do. Just like Jacob talked about last week, that the heart reveals the actions. And then on the other hand, we have King Saul and his actions. So he's shown quite a prideful heart. See, not only has his actions been not honoring towards God, but he also sees David as a problem to get rid of, rather than like another human that has been created by God and is someone worthy of honor and recognition. But pride was something that Saul struggled with long before David entered the scene. We can read in 1 Samuel 15 as it describes of some of Saul's prideful actions, including him setting up a monument to himself. And Proverbs is clear in telling us the consequences of pride. Proverbs 16:18. "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." But Saul's not the only person that we can read of in Scripture whose life takes a turn for the worse because of their prideful heart. King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel didn't recognize that his empire was flourishing because of God, and he ends up losing his mind. Samson, showing great strengths, feats of strength, a winning battle, thinks it's all upon him and his awesome muscles, and he ends up losing his life. And then Haman, from the book of Esther, believed that he was the most important person in the king's of the king's subjects. And then he ends up being thrown out of the royal court and killed. So to finish with our tale of two kings, through the story, we've seen how pride in Saul leads him to losing the favor of God, of being troubled by spirits, by spending his days running through the wilderness after David, and then eventually dying by his own hand in battle. David, on the other hand, honored God from the very beginning. He took up a fight with Goliath to honor God's name. And then when he was king, he shamelessly danced in the streets with joy at the Ark of the Covenant being returned to Jerusalem. For us, we may not be able to see a direct correlation right now for our lives to King Saul and to David. But just like in our lives, David's story doesn't finish there. As we continue to read through in the story of David, as he grows older, he ends up slowly getting a bit more prideful. Slowly starts thinking that what achievements have happened in his life were his doing and his work. And he ends up seeing a woman he wants, killing a friend that he may get her, and taking what he wants because he is the king and he deserves it because he's worked hard for it. And so, as I said, it may be quite hard to originally see a connection between us and King Saul and King David. But there is a simple truth from the story and Proverbs which we can apply to our lives in order that we could live by God's wisdom. And that simple truth is that humility is not just lowering ourselves, but lifting God high. Humility is not simply just lowering ourselves, but lifting God high. Humility, or a humble heart, is a heart that honors and is centered on God. Before, I touched on the mutually inclusiveness of humility and honor, that before we can honor God, we must humble ourselves. But this is also because we cannot be both humble and proud at the same time. They are on two ends of a continuum. Now see, the root word from which we get pride from can also mean to lift. And that's what we do when we're prideful. We lift ourselves. And it becomes us that we boast in, us that we talk about. But it's not just ourselves that we can become prideful in. Anything that we put to the center of our lives, that we lift up, can be something that we are proud about and we can boast about. We can boast about ourselves and our achievement, and we can boast about our material possessions, and we can even actually, to an extent, boast about our friends and our family. You know, that person, famous person I know, I'm friends with him. That makes me pretty cool too. So it's something that we need to be constantly thinking about. So in order for us to be truly humble, for us to actually honor God, as I said, it's something we need to continue working on and working towards a humble heart. In the story of Saul and David, and often in the story of our own lives, it's not a situation of one day I'm an incredibly humble person, and then all of a sudden the next day I'm really prideful. It's something that often happens over time, which is understandable, right? As humans, I feel like we do have a natural tendency to a prideful heart. I mean, all of us do enjoy receiving some recognition. You know, if you've done something good, it's nice to be validated and have some praise. But it's something that we need to be thinking about and constantly watching ourselves on. It's something that I definitely need to watch myself on, especially when it comes to playing golf. For me. So I used to play golf quite a long time ago. I've recently got back into it, and I was really not too good when I first started. So I've spent some time at the driving range. I said some time, and Jamie pulls a face, a lot of time at the driving range and at the golf course practicing shots. And I can see it when I'm playing golf and I set up and I hit the ball and it goes. I'm not that good yet. It goes roughly where I want it to go. And I remember this one moment on the, for anyone that plays golf at the Howard Golf Course on the 12th hole with a slight dog leg left, if you know what that means. But anyway, so I hit my driver off the tee. I went up over the trees I was aiming for, and it finished around about 45 meters away from the green in the middle of the fairway. I actually stopped and I took a little video of where I was, because, I mean, that talks to a prideful heart, right? But I mean, all I remember is standing there and thinking to myself, and this is to quote a movie I quite like from Coach Carter when he ties his shoelace. I don't know if anyone knows that movie, but he stands up and he looks and he goes, "I did that. Woo! I am amazing. I did that." And so that was going through my head as I walked up to my golf ball. I was like, "Wowee! I'm signing up for the PGA Golf Tour." Definitely not, but you know, like, there was that for me. It was, and it's something, because it's been something I've been working towards and working at, right? I've been putting time and effort in, and it's quite easy for me as I'm walking to kind of just take for granted and be like, that's me and my effort and my work, and I'm amazing and I'm awesome, and then all of a sudden it's all about me. And so it's this gradual progression of thinking about ourselves and slowly moving ourselves more and more to the center, rather than God. And so it's like at times like this that I need to remind myself of the words of Paul in Galatians 6:14. See, he says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." It is in these times that I can feel my own sense of achievement that I need to recognize God's provision and his work in my life that enables this to happen. Sure, I've spent some time practicing. You know, I have put something in and then forgot something out, and I can be a little bit happy that there's a result of something I'm doing. But when I'm playing golf, or when I'm doing anything that I start to feel that this is me, I need to be thankful to God, because he created me. He gave me this passion. He gave me the ability, the body, and the mind to be able to do it. And so I actually think our topic of today is the perfect ending for our series, because each of the topics we covered play a role in whether we honor God with our lives or whether we honor ourselves. Do our hearts and our words honor God, or do they honor ourselves and taking down and tearing down other people? Do we get angry and frustrated when we feel slighted? When someone says something about me and hurts my pride, do I get angry about that? Or do I get angry about the injustice in the world and God's heart breaking about that? Am I like David, who picks up and goes into battle to fight Goliath, not because he's just the enemy, but because he's dishonoring God's name? Does our money and our possessions control us, or do we control them? Is what we've worked for and what we got purely belong to us, or are we thankful for what God has provided us and that we know actually it came from God, it's going to return to God, and it always belongs to God? And do our friends lead us into honoring ourselves to an overinflated opinion of ourselves and our worth and what we can do? Or do our friends lead us to honor God? Do our friends challenge us lovingly sometimes if maybe I'm getting a little bit too proud about that golf shot, and actually help me to point it back to God and actually his provision and what he has given me that enables me to do that? So I just want to invite the band up quickly, because I just want to spend a quick moment in reflection. I always like you to think back and reflect on the sermon series and yourself. Reflect on the current state of your heart. And let's ask the question, what is currently center for you? What or who are you lifting up in your life? What are you honoring today? And I pray that as we spend a short amount of time just reflecting, and the band will play and then they'll lead us into a final song, I just pray that if there is something in our lives that we are putting at the center, if we are lifting up higher than God, that he may speak to us in this time. And as has been shared this morning, we have an amazing church family. We have an amazing God, and we can talk to God about that, and we can talk to each other about that. Because our friends should be people that are able to help lead us to God and help bring God to the center of our lives. But if we do recognize right now for you and God is the absolute center, then amen, hallelujah, praise that. And may we stand this morning and sing our praises to God, because he can be the center of our lives. And in lifting him up, we can receive his blessings, his wisdom, his favor. And we can then share that with those around us. We can pray for those that we go to work with. We can hear messages from people that encourage us and lift us up. There's so much we can do when God is at our center and we work and we move from that. So let's just take a moment to reflect and to think. And then the band's going to invite you to stand and to sing with them, and let us truly worship and praise God. And quickly, Sheila does have something to say, and so I'm just going to